Hey, everybody, and welcome back to this bonus episode. I have been telling a bit of my story, getting into podcasting and things like that. And what's been interesting is that there are so many things that podcasting has really opened up to me and has allowed me to kind of become the dev hero, dev influencer that I've kind of been talking about for a while. And I've decided that over the next several bonus episodes, I'm just going to tell my story as it kind of unfolds. And the reason is because I think there's a lot of value in just understanding the journey, but also understanding what's possible for you as a dev influencer or a dev hero. So let's go ahead and dive in. Now, I've already told the story about Don introducing me to podcasting, right, at Mosey. Reached out to Greg Pollock, and Greg told me, hey, you ought to interview people, right? And so I interviewed Greg, and I started interviewing other people. Now, what's interesting about all of this is that, and I'm kind of going to go to the point where I started my next thing, right? So, and some of you were thinking, oh, he's going to talk about Ruby Rogues. Not yet. So anyway, just to kind of foreshadow and then tell you it's not what you think it is. So anyway, so I got into podcasting and I started listening to podcasts, and then I started the Rails Coach podcast, right? And so I put this podcast out there and I'm talking about Ruby on Rails. And what's funny is that, you know, I interviewed Greg, and then I think I had an episode where I just kind of spitballed stuff, right? Stuff I was learning. And you have to realize that at this point, I think I was just barely into my first development job full time. So I didn't have a whole lot of professional experience. I had done a bunch of work at my previous job in Rails, but that was actually a kind of a side gig on top of my main gig, if that makes sense. And then I'd been learning some of the testing frameworks out there that were built on top of stuff like Selenium, so that I could write automated tests, because I went into QA for 6 months. So that kind of sets the stage. So I'm interviewing people, right? So I interview Greg. I interview James Gray, who will come into the story later when I do talk about Ruby Rogues. I interview a few other folks, and I get this podcast going. And I don't know if I talked about how I got my first podcast mic, so let me back up and talk about that really quickly. In fact, that'll probably be the story for this bonus episode, and then we'll kind of get into things from there. But it's kind of funny how, I mean, essentially, you just get people to send you stuff, right? But anyway, what wound up happening was I did a video for Eric Berry. And I was, so he had Teach Me to Code, which was this video series that he'd been putting together for on Ruby on Rails. And he had a bunch of series that he had put together, like how to build a Twitter clone, which is probably the most popular one. But he had recruited a whole bunch of the rest of us from the Ruby community to produce videos for Teach Me to Code, right? And he kind of gave us the intro and everything, you know, that went along with that. Yeah, so I recorded a video, and I was pretty new, so mine was pretty basic. It covered how to do routing in Ruby on Rails, and just walked through the basics of setting up your route file and adding stuff to it, right? So that when somebody sent a request in, it would go through and come out through the right controller and then come back around, right? And get answered. And I mean, that was all it was. It was probably a 15-minute video. And I had kind of had to figure some of it out on my own. I mean, I'd gotten a little bit of coaching from Eric. I'd gotten a little bit of coaching from the internet. Some people were actually recommending different software, like iShowU, I think was one. ScreenFlow was another one. Anyway, what wound up happening was I created this this video, and I put it up, and I was pretty proud of it, honestly. You know, I'd never done anything like that before, but I was excited that Eric had wanted me to do a video for him. And, you know, I was excited to be involved in the Ruby community. And so at the end of the day, what wound up happening was I put this video up, and I was on Twitter, right? It was pretty early on in the Twitter days. But I got on Twitter and I tweeted out, and I just let people know, hey, look, I made this video for Teach Me to Code, right? And I also put out there that I was a little embarrassed because I had just used the microphone on my computer, so just the onboard microphone. And I was kind of lamenting the fact that I didn't have a really nice microphone, and that I had only been able to record it on the trial version of ScreenFlow. And lo and behold, just that much, just mentioning ScreenFlow and mentioning the, you know, their Twitter handle on Twitter, and then mentioning the video that I had recorded with their software, they actually emailed me and said, hey, here's a license key for a year of ScreenFlow. And, you know, I'm this nobody dude from, you know, this tiny town in Utah. You know, I'm probably barely making like 60 grand a year, if that. You know, I've got two kids and a wife, and we're living over in Saratoga Springs. And anyway, it was kind of this crazy serendipitous thing, you know, and they come out and they're like, hey, here's a free license, right? Good luck getting rolling. And I was like, wow, this is cool. And then they also asked me for my mailing address. And about 2 weeks later, they shipped me a microphone. It was an Audio Technica. I don't remember the model number, which is kind of funny because podcasters are kind of, they get excited about their equipment the same way that like athletes. So I run marathons, right? And I can't remember the brand of my shoes either, right? But I get asked all the time, oh, what shoes are you wearing? But you get the idea, right? So I don't even remember. It was an Audio Technica. It was a pretty decent mic. I think I eventually wound up giving it to David Brady to record with, cause I think he had a microphone that quit on him or something, but yeah. So they sent me a microphone, right? And I'm like, this is awesome. And so I planned to make more videos for Eric. I never did until, later, but that's another story. And I think I'm going to get to that in the next bonus episode. But yeah, I mean, it's just amazing to me how just a little bit of outreach, a little bit of work, and these companies are willing to just go out of their way to, get you started. Now, granted, this was like 12 years ago, right? It was pretty early for a lot of this stuff. And, you know, so it was in their best interest, I think, in a lot of ways for them to encourage somebody like me to get started, because once I was going, right, I was likely to renew my license with ScreenFlow, right? If I stuck with making the videos, which I wound up doing. And I always had kind of this fond place in my heart now for TechSmith. Who makes ScreenFlow, and so, or Telestream, sorry, Telestream makes ScreenFlow. And so I've been really, really happy with the product anyway, but yeah, that's how I got my first microphone. And honestly, it was one freaking episode. I'm going to share another instance of this too. I'm currently coaching a guy named Luke, and he's putting together some stuff around Quasar, which is it's kind of a mobile/desktop/web development framework written in Vue.js. And so if you're familiar with Vue, Quasar's kind of this tool that kind of lives in that ecosystem and does all this cool stuff. And he put up a video, just his first video. I think it was a video, might have been a podcast episode, but I've been coaching him on putting together all this content, right? So he gets this content out there, and I mean, it was just one episode, one thing, right? And he gets this job offer rolling in, which I'm just going, you know, and he's like, it was a really good offer too. He's like, I remember him telling me why he didn't feel like he could leave his current job. He's pretty committed to, you know, not dropping the ball on them, which I think is admirable. But I also wouldn't blame him for taking a sweet job offer if one came along like that. But yeah, it was one episode, one dang episode, right? He put one episode out and he's getting this job offer, which is again, amazing, right? And I think people often underestimate what is really possible if you're willing to go out there and do the work to put something out there. It's also funny because you get people that just put the one thing out, right? It's one open source library, one podcast episode, one video, one whatever, right? They put one blog post, right? And it kind of captures the imagination of the people out there in the programming space. And people start talking about it and it becomes this force within the programming space. A conference talk does that sometimes, right? And so they become the, you know, whatever that talk was about person, right? Just off of one thing. And so I really, really just want to encourage people just getting started to jump out there, right? Go get out there and you know, get going with that one thing, right? I feel like I want to make these about 20 minutes, and that was about 10 minutes just telling you how I got my first podcast mic. So let's talk a little bit more about how the rest of this went, right? So I'm doing this podcast and I start reaching out to people and just seeing if I can get them on the show. And what's funny is that, in some ways, I just want to back up. In some ways, it's a little bit harder to get the people you want on your podcast. And in other ways, it's easier, right? Because back then, getting people on the podcast, I would just reach out and say, hey, do you want to come on the podcast? And since they'd never done it before and, you know, it made them feel famous and important, a lot of people would just say yes, right? They would just, you know, I got all kinds of people. I'd see people speak at a conference. I'd go down and I'd corner them and I'd be like, hey, do you want to come on the podcast? And they'd be like, yeah. And so we'd exchange email addresses and I'd line it up, right? And so then we'd get on Skype. Oh, man. The good old days. Recording over Skype. Oh, my gosh. Don't get me started on that. But yeah, so we'd record over Skype. And I had this program called Ecamm Call Recorder. We used that for years. But yeah. So Ecamm Call Recorder, what it did was it would essentially record both people, you know, or if there were more than two people on there, it would record me on one track and it would record everybody else on the other track. But it would also capture the video if there were two of us. And so I did a whole bunch of video or interviews like that, right? And so I was just interviewing whoever I thought was interesting, whoever had written an interesting blog post that I ran across, whoever was speaking at the conference that I was attending. And I would just email them and ask them to come on the show and they would do it. Right. There were a couple of people that were harder to reach. Right. But for the most part, I mean, that's kind of how that went. And then if I didn't have anybody, then I would just monologue. I would just get on and I would just, you know, just talk, just me. Hey, blah, blah, blah. What, this is what I'm learning. And what's funny too, is that a lot of people think that you have to be kind of at the top of your game. You have to be this genius developer that is going to innovate the industry in order to do a podcast. And those episodes, honestly, I was pretty new to Rails. And so I would just talk about the stuff I was learning. Oh, did you know that you can do this with Rails? Oh, did you know that you can test this stuff this way with Rails? Oh, did you know that and it was basic stuff. I mean, it wasn't mind-blowing, groundbreaking stuff. I was still pretty new, and I was talking about stuff that most experienced folks would honestly, they'd be like, okay, you know, that's sometimes I'd hit stuff that was new and cutting edge in Rails, right? But for the most part, that was kind of the limitation on what I was putting out there, was that it just wasn't, that advanced. But people were picking it up, and they were really enjoying it. And so I was doing that for probably 6 months and maybe a little bit longer than that. And I get this email from Eric, who, like I said, you know, had kind of gotten part of the ball rolling with Teach Me to Code, with me doing that video and then me getting that microphone. And he basically said, hey, look, you know, over the last little while, I've been getting into Groovy and Grails, which is Groovy's a language that runs on the Java virtual machine, and Grails is a framework that, you know, is loosely mirrored after Ruby on Rails. And, you know, he'd been getting into that and really been enjoying it. And he'd put together a couple of videos on Teach Me to Code, and they were not being well received. I mean, they weren't, like, people weren't giving him crap about it, but he could see that the viewership was not picking him up. They weren't going for it. And so he came to me and he said, look, you know, they want Rails content. So do you want to take it over? And I was like, sure. And so he turned the whole thing over to me, lock, stock, and barrel. The website, all the videos, the domain, I mean, the whole nine yards, gave me the whole thing. And I started making videos on Rails stuff. Now, one thing I don't think I understood at the time, and this has kind of been a little bit of a theme with Eric and I, is just the communication hasn't always been the best. And so he'll say something to me, and I think he means something else. And in this case, I didn't quite understand that at the time he intended it to be something similar to Railscasts, which was an ongoing video series by Ryan Bates that did Ruby on Rails tutorials, right? They were just 10, 15 minute tutorials. And I didn't understand that he was looking to do the same thing and then kind of parlay that into a paid membership, which is what Ryan wound up doing. And so I was just putting out videos because I thought it was fun. And so, yeah, I was doing that, and it was pretty awesome, to be honest. Anyway, so I kind of took over Teach Me to Code. And at the same time, I was still doing these interviews on Rails Coach and talking to people and finding opportunities to learn and to grow and all that stuff. And it was awesome. It was just amazing. So, yeah, so I wound up taking over Teach Me to Code and started making videos there. And again, when I talked to Eric, too, it was funny because he had a whole bunch of people who were way more experienced than me who had made videos for him, right? And I'm like, and so I looked at him at one point, and I was, because I at that point I'd been programming professionally for maybe a year, maybe. I just looked at him and I was like, well, why? You know, why do I get this? You know, why aren't you handing it off to somebody who's this genius programmer, right? And if when I say you should start a podcast, that's what goes through your head. I'm not a genius podcaster or programmer. That's exactly what was going through my head. Exactly what was going through my head. I'm like, why me, right? I'm new. I don't know what these other people know. I don't have 10 zillion years of experience writing code. So why would you turn your baby over to me? And it was interesting because it was really telling what he told me. And this goes back to the same thing, right? With just doing the video and putting yourself out there, right? Is he said, look, he said, you've been doing this podcast for however long I'd been doing it, right? You've been doing this podcast. You've been producing regularly. And he teach me to code was something that he wanted to continue to go on. And so it was more important to him that I had a habit of producing content than it was that I was a genius programmer, right? He figured that I could pick up where he left off, you know, maybe do some more basic stuff, possibly. But the main thing that he communicated to me was that it was important that he hand it off to somebody who was going to keep doing it. And I did. I kept doing it for several years. But I really want to just put that out there too, right? It's the things that make people recognize you are, first of all, just being out there, right? And I guess I'm getting to the moral of the story, more or less. But just being out there, right? I mean, one video, right? One video and I get a ScreenFlow license and basically $150 microphone. Just out of the blue from a company out there, right? And, you know, I really owe them big time. I mean, I don't know that I would be podcasting without that microphone that they had sent me way back in the day. I probably would have. I'm one of those people that once I kind of get an idea in my head, I kind of chase it down and will do whatever it takes. But, you know, I think it made a difference. I think it made a big difference. Gave me a lot of confidence because I had a nice microphone. But the other thing is not just being out there, but being consistent opens up so many opportunities, right? I mean, it's funny to me how many folks, you know, they're like, they get some opportunity come their way, right? So they become a maintainer on an open source project, or they get invited to speak at a conference, or they get approached to write a book or things like that. And what really is the reason for it is that with the open source project, they've been contributing week after week after week after week. And so the maintainer comes to them instead of the genius coder and says, hey, you've been super consistent. I want you to take over, right? Or in the case of the speaking, right? They come to them and they say, hey, look, you know, you've been super consistent on your YouTube channel or your podcast, and we want you to come speak at the conference, right? Or, you know, in all these other cases, you know, you get a job, right? You get a job offer because, hey, we've been reading your blog for years and we realize that you're the kind of person that we want working for us at our company. All of these things come out of just being super consistent, putting yourself out there, right? The book deal comes out of people blogging over and over and over and over again, right? And I've got several friends that that's happened to, where they got approached by Pragmatic Programmers or Manning or who else? Pearson, Wiley, you know, some of these other companies. And the reason they wind up publishing those books and get invited to write those books is because they're super consistent about the work that they're doing. And so I really just want to encourage you, if you're looking at a way to become well-known in the community and start having opportunities and what am I trying to say as far as just not just opportunities, but, you know, have people enable your journey, I guess is the best way to put it, right? Then put yourself out there and be super consistent about it. And if you're doing that, then at the end of the day, what'll happen is you will be put in a position where you can do that, but you've got to put yourself out there and you've got to be consistent. If you're looking for kind of a pattern to do that, you're looking for a way to understand and reach a community of people that you can do that for, then you really ought to go check out the Dev Influencers Academy, or the Dev Influencers Accelerator, excuse me. And you can go find that at devinfluencers.com/apply. If you want more information, I'm probably going to wind up telling my story in a little more depth on the Dev Influencers podcast. And you can find that at devinfluencers.com/podcast. And for the rest of it, I'm just going to wrap up here. I'll probably tell kind of the next leg of my journey from there. But in the meantime, max out.